Jesus came. And one of the things we've been looking at is that he came to this earth, and when he came, he showed up and we beheld something. And I think that testimony, what we saw and what we've done, is that Jesus, yes, he came 2,000 years ago, but he comes again, further incarnations through his body. And we show up on planet Earth. And so we're going to look at another portion of this scripture, John chapter 1. This first part, the introduction, the prologue of this great gospel. And let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And so we've looked at kind of the first half. We've looked at kind of the second half. And we're going to go back towards the middle and see the main thing that John was communicating in this passage. And we saw the first week that Jesus was and is the pre-existent God. Jesus came and came into a body, but that's not when Jesus was born. Jesus has always been. Remember, we saw that he told the religious leaders, "I am. Before Abraham, I am." You mean that I am? Yes, that I am. And so Jesus is God. And that he is alive today and sustain. Everything was made through him, for him. And today, everything is upheld by the word of his power. Well, how does that work? I don't know, but he's doing it. It means that without Jesus, the universe doesn't exist. He sustains it and he maintains it. All right. So the Word became flesh. He dwelled among us. John said, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the one who was begotten from God, full of grace and truth." And so to summarize what Jesus looked like, to summarize the glory that John saw, he said, if I can just use two words, it would be grace and truth. Aren't you glad he still shows up in our life with grace and truth? I don't know about you. I need more of that. And so Jesus is that to us. So we mentioned this to you, that this prologue that John wrote is something called a chiastic structure. Okay, so that's the next cool word that you've learned at Miracle Live. Chiastic structure, C-H-I, but pronounced K-I, all right? And it was just simply a way of expression or argument. And it is the Greek word key, which is an X. All right. So it kind of everything kind of centers in the beginning. And if you think about, you know, in a maybe an article or something, when you highlight it or you circle it in red, it's kind of the big deal. All right. So the big deal is in the middle, and the big deal is verse 12. All right. So let's go look at the big deal that John was saying. But as many as received him, remember in verse 11, they rejected him. He came to his own, but they didn't receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And so those that did not believe, those that did reject, they didn't receive him. But then there were those who did receive him. And many, many of us in this room are those, generations later, those who have received him, those who have believed in him. So what happens to us? Well, because of that belief in Jesus and in his name, we are given the right to become children of God. Now, verse 13 kind of explains how that happens, all right? We're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So our spiritual birth is not because of our parents' decision, but it is from God, it is of God, and it started with this belief in him. We received him. All right. So it says that we become the children of God. Now, that means if we become the children of God, that means that before our belief in receiving Jesus, this act of God called regeneration, the new birth, that before that, it means that we were not. All right. So this couple that is getting married on the 23rd, they're going to become married. That means today they're not. Just keep that in mind, couple. All right. So you either are or you're not. Congratulations. You made the sermon today. All right. So this becoming is to be born. All right. So using a process that we understand is that before a baby's born, the baby's not here. Before the baby is conceived, it doesn't exist yet. All right. Now this birth reminds us, and really probably it's a indicator of two chapters later, the conversation that Jesus has with a religious leader, Nicodemus. And in that passage, we hear about the new birth. So turn to John chapter 3, right? Because we're talking about those who receive him. God gives them the right to become something, the children of God. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is answering this question from Nicodemus. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." All right, so it's not a matter of being born a Jew. It's not a matter of keeping the old covenant. There has to be something called being born again. All right, and so Nicodemus probably asked the question that we would have asked, what do you mean? What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? So what is Nicodemus thinking? Physical birth, physical existence. All right. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." So aren't you glad your parents gave birth to you human life? Okay, so it's great to be human. It's great to be physically alive. But that's not the biggest thing about you. There's a side of us. There's a part of us. It's the me you can't see. It's the me that lives forever. All right? And that is our spirit. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Verse 7. "So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." All right, and Jesus goes on to say, you know, you know the law. You know the Old Covenant. I'm surprised you didn't get this. Because Jeremiah talked about it. Ezekiel talked about it. Joel talked about it. Okay. So he's introducing this spiritual birth. It's not family DNA. Now, some of us, depending on what family you grew up in, or maybe nationality, or persuasion, or tribe, some people have a lot of pride in their physical, the physical part of them. You know, I am a blank. Awesome. And because I'm a blank, I'm very special. What Jesus is saying is that that might be true and certainly nothing to be ashamed about, but that's not really the big deal about you. All right. We're all born physically. We're all born into a certain family. All right. But we must have another birth. And that second birth is the big deal. All right. Born to give thus second birth, we sang this morning. All right. So what was a big deal to the Jews of that day was to be born a Jew. And if you were born a Jew, you had an inside track to God. You were God's chosen people. You had a lineage. You had national heritage. All right. You could relate to God, your family. And so it was what people felt was a big deal about themselves. All right. Now, today, what we realize is no one by physical birth is descended from God. All right. Pastor Benjamin and I were having a chat this week about some of our cousins to the south. There's a certain group that they believe that their tribe came from heaven. And so they're very special people. How many of you know, hate to tell you, your tribe didn't come from heaven? All right? It came from every other place, the earth. If you're looking at me really strange, I guess you're from the tribe that came from heaven. Okay? So no one physically is descended from God. No nation, physical nation, has special access to God, like an insider group. No nation. No physical characteristic. Nothing about our gender or our height or anything about us makes us more special or gives us any kind of inside track to God. All right? Doesn't make it special to you. Again, because sometimes we, you know, the biggest thing about so many people is, I am blank. Well, congratulations. Fantastic. But what Jesus is saying is that when you receive him, you get the right to become the children of God. And we need to live our life that identity is the biggest thing about us. All right? Whether you are single or married, whether you are male or female, whether you have a PhD or grade 7, that is not the biggest thing about you. All right? It is the second birth, this entry into God's family. Amen. So we have now a link to heaven that could never happen just by physical birth and physical natural heritage. All right, now, please note what John said, that we become the children of God when we believe, when we receive him. All right, so when we believe in his name, that's the idea that we believe in his person. Everything about Jesus, all right? Now, when we were born naturally, we don't remember that, okay? But in order for you to be born again, you had to have been there. You had to have done something called faith, belief in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ, okay? That's why, if anyone that becomes a member at Miracle Life, we're going to have, if you're welcome to come in January, if you've been here for 3 months or more. But one of the things we ask you is please describe to us your born again experience. All right. And if you say, I don't know. I was baptized as a baby. Well, that's not the answer we're looking for. Okay, and it's not a matter of just passing the membership quiz, all right? It's a matter of knowing that I am born again because I believed in Jesus Christ. And I was there. It was a conscious decision that I made. John, later in the chapter with Nicodemus, goes on to say this, something we've heard many, many times. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody say, believe. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. All right. So anyone who believes, everyone who believes gets to be in God's family. But please, let's keep reading in verse 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, Jesus. All right. So as far as being found guilty before God, because Jesus took our place, right? He was the one who took our sin and was punished in our place. And so now there's not judgment against us, the wrath of God, because we've received what Jesus did. But keep reading here. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. All right? Elsewhere in Scripture, it uses this phrase, for the wrath of God abides on them. All right? So how does the wrath of God not abide on me? Well, you know, I'll give more to Chilenge next time. I'll be really, 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 really nice to my family. Mm-mm. Those can be fruits of being a Christian, but none of those things make you right with God. None of those things get you into the family. It's only belief in Jesus Christ, receiving him. All right? So anyone who does not believe in Jesus has already been judged for not believing, and they remain not the children of God. They remain outside of the family. Let me read it to you from the Message Bible. Anyone who trusts in him, Jesus, is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. Why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Pastor, are you saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. God Almighty is saying that. The Bible is saying that. And I'll be honest, I am frightened for Christianity, and even among what we would call the evangelical world, that people simply don't believe that anymore. Well, not Aunt Judy. You didn't meet my Aunt Judy. She was more Christians than Christians. Well, that's really great. But how are you born again? Well, Aunt Judy was so sweet. So sweetness is the prerequisite? No. Because here's what the Bible says about God. Says our righteousness, our good things to him, it's like a filthy rag. It literally stinks. It's not enough. All right, and that's what the law, Galatians says, the law was our schoolmaster. What was the lesson? We're not good enough for God in our own strength. So Jesus came. Jesus is good enough. And so we receive him. We receive what he did for us. And when we do this, there is something, a spiritual birth, a new birth that happens on the inside of us when we believe. A supernatural act of God. John 1, 13. Not born of flesh or natural means, but born of God. All right? So we are forgiven, acquitted, freed from condemnation. There's no longer a sentence of judgment. All right? So we become, through the new birth, the children of God. Sometimes interacting with people, I've heard one or two people here in Zambia, because I got real popular in the 80s about being born again. That was a term, and it's a Bible term, isn't it, right? And somebody said to me one time, they said, oh, you're one of those born again types. Those born again types. And I said, yeah, and I just wanted to be sweet and nice and represent Jesus. What I didn't tell them was, it's the only kind. there's the born again types, and then there are the unborn types. There are the outside of the family of God types. Two groups of people in the world, folks. Two groups of people. Amen. Okay, so we become, through the new birth, the children of God. So we become something. So let's look at this phrase, being a child of God. Something happened to us, okay? So sometimes when something will happen to someone, they'll have an awakening, they go through something, maybe the death of someone, or they lose their job, and I found religion. Oh, it was just amazing. I saw a light. And so people, when they find religion, they become religious. All right? Sometimes people decide to sin less. All right? So they become moral, or at least more moral, right? And maybe they have a reason to stop, to try to not sin as much. All right? People who go to church become churchgoers. That's what we call people who go to church. They are churchgoers, all right? I was baptized as a baby. If you were baptized as a baby, all right, you know what you become when you're baptized as a baby? A wet baby. That is what you become. No, you become a Christian. No, it's impossible. It's impossible. Because that baby cannot believe on Jesus. What's the prerequisite to being born into the family, becoming a child of God? Those who receive Him. Okay, I was christened at Grace Cathedral Church in San Francisco by my parents, and they wanted me to be a Christian, and I became wet. And then I guess they dried me off or something, okay? So, at the new birth, when we receive Him, when we believe Him, we don't become religious, we don't become moral, we don't become wet, we become the children of God. The children of God, and it is the only doorway into this family experience. Great, great commentaries, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said, to become children of God, not in name and dignity only, but in nature also, as the very next verse, verse 13, shows us, all right? Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God, and then he tells us how? Through faith in Christ Jesus, not through church membership, not through moral adherence, not through giving cholera test kits, through faith in Christ Jesus. So that's very, very consistent throughout Scripture, all right? So through faith in Jesus, not through natural birth, not through any of these other things. So we are the children of God. So let's look at three things. So we become something through the new birth. The new birth happens. We become the children of God. And so I want us to think about three areas of our life and how we see ourselves in God because of this family attribute, this family fact. Number one, God is our Father. God is our Father. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, Jehovah, Yahweh, had a covenant relationship with his people. And they certainly knew him as God. And they certainly knew him through his redemptive names. Jehovah the provider, Jehovah the healer, Jehovah our victory, the Lord our shepherd. And so God had truly revealed himself in marvelous, wonderful ways. I'm so glad. How many know he never stopped being our shepherd? He never stopped being our provider or our healer, all right? But in the New Testament, there is a new way in which God describes himself and that he tells us to think about him. Jesus was praying a lot, And he prayed in front of his disciples, sometimes with them. Sometimes he would go pray and come back. And typically when Jesus prayed, things happened. All right. When the Pharisees prayed, it was just loud. Okay. Lots of dust, but no miracles. All right. So the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray like you do. All right, guys, here's how you start. Our Father. See, in the Old Covenant, you didn't get to pray that way. You didn't pray that way. You were not invited or instructed to pray that way. Our God is one God. But now, Jesus says, our Father. So the Father of Jesus is our Father. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren and sisteren. Right? He's the firstborn, okay? And we are born into this family. So, because of this birth, because we are the children of God, one of the ways that I think impacts us maybe the most is how we see or view God. He is our Father. He's our Father. Now, not like your father, okay? You did have a natural father who had a lot of sin or a little bit of sin, but somewhere, you know, the Bible says he's a father to the fatherless. You know, I think we're all fatherless to some degree, okay? Even my kids, all right? Because I was less than in certain areas. But God is the perfect Father. When Jesus was talking to someone who was outside of the covenant, and Jesus was sent to the Jews, and so there was somebody that was outside of the covenant, was seeking healing, and Jesus said, well, it's not really right that I take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Right? There's food for the family. Right? So Jesus called physical healing the children's bread. The children's bread. All right, so who gets the bread? The children do. All right? I'm going to see my kids in 4 days. Yahoo! All right. And my wife and I'll go to a grocery store and we'll put food in the fridge and it will be the children's food. Did they pay for it? No. These days they could, but they're not going to. All right. We're going to pay for it. But because we paid for it, it literally belongs to them. And so every promise, every blessing of God is not something that we earn. Remember the older brother in Luke 15, the prodigal son's older brother? He was working for the party and never even got a skinny goat, right? But what he didn't realize was what the father had told him was, all that I have is yours, all right? So the father, the blessings of heaven are ours by birthright, not by wages, not by conniving, not by making a deal with God. Hey, God, 2018. God, I really need a car. All right, so here's how we're going to do this, God. I love it when people negotiate with God, not based on the Bible. It's quite scary, all right? Okay, God, I really need this car, and so here's how we're going to do it, God. You know that Saturday morning prayer meeting? Count me in. I'll do it. All right, so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get them off my back. I'm going to join the connection group. Okay. All right, so I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do that. Wrong answer. It doesn't work that way. Everything that God gives his children is because of family. All right? It's because of redemption. So how I see God, how I receive from God. All right? So it's not by covenant keeping. It's not by physical birth. It's because I am a child of God. All right? Family blessings and also family responsibilities. I don't know about the home that you grew up in, but typically, if you're going to have a meal at night, then there were family things. All right, it wasn't like you had a time card and they were paying, but if you're part of the family, then we all, as a part of the family, are going to do some stuff called responsibilities, right? So they're family blessings, family responsibilities, all right? They're submitting to the will of the Father, all right? It's allowing the Father to shape and mold. Hebrews 12, whom the Father loves, he corrects, right? So I don't want to resist that because it's so wonderful. So we see God as our Father. Number two, we realize that we are the children of God, all right? And I really think, for me, this is the biggest thing about my life, is that I'm a child of God. Now, I am some other things, all right? I'm a brother to four brothers. I think that's really cool, all right? I love being a brother. Talking to two brothers yesterday. I love being a husband. Did I mention I'm going to see my wife in 2 days? Hallelujah. All right. I love being a husband. I love being a pastor. All right. I love my job. So these are all things about me. But you know what is the biggest thing by far? And it affects all those other things. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family of God. All right. It's not my natural family. It's not my heritage. There's no physical attribute. All right. It's not my financial life or education. It's not the people that I know, the connections. It's that I am a child of God. It's not my successes, nor is it my failures that define me. Did they happen? Yes. All right. But who I am is that I've received Jesus and I have become something. I've become a child of God. That never changes. I used to not be a pastor. And there's one day I won't be a pastor. Hold that thought. All right, so the biggest thing about me is not really even what I think about myself. It's certainly not what you think about me. It's who God has made me. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit, ever since the new birth, he has been preaching this to you. He's been preaching this to you. And either you've been hearing it and receiving it, or maybe it got clouded, or maybe the message got muffled with tradition or lies from the enemy. Here's what the Bible says, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Tata. Verse 16, the Spirit himself, he bears witness with our spirit. So what is he bearing witness? What's the message? That we are children of God. The Message Bible, ooh, I love this. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are.
I'm Zambian.
Tell your neighbor, that's not who you really are.
I'm a man.
Praise the Lord. We got man cards in the lobby. All right, we'll hook you up, all right? Tell your neighbor, that's not the big deal. That's not the big deal. We know who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. Father and children. We've sung this song for years at church here. But the chorus, kind of the kicker, and it says this. I am a child of God. How many of you have sung that song at Miracle Life before? All right. When you sing that, for me, and I hope it's the same for you, but it's like an explosion. I am a child of God. All right? He split the seas so I could walk right through. That's fine. Yippee-yahoo. All right? But when we get to that part, I am a child of God. That's the X. That's the main point of John chapter 1. That we are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit says, amen. Get that inside of you. I would just dare you for the next 365 days, some way, somehow, whether it's that song or something else, or you got a little card in your purse or your wallet, tell yourself for 1 year, I am a child of God. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. Do that for 1 year and see what happens. I tell you what, you'll be shouting in the bus. You'll be shouting at church. You'll be shouting wherever you go. All right, now John later, in this gospel, he wrote an epistle specifically to believers. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. We do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation keep themselves pure just as he is pure. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. It's the big deal about you. And maybe you are the shortest in your family. Maybe you have the biggest ears in your family. Right? We all have that thing about us, right? In my family, I'm at the bottom on a few, 2, 3, or 23 things, all right? So there are those things that we're like, bummer on the DNA. How did that happen to me? Okay? But you know what I am? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. So, God is our Father. We are his children. And then much of the New Testament then admonishes us, live as children. Live as the children of God. Pastor Benjamin said, if we believe something, then we act that way. There's action that comes out. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and arguing. Is that really in the Bible? Tell your neighbor with a question mark, everything? Ay, ay, ay. Everything. Wow. It'd be nice to obey that verse for like 4 hours. Amen. We can do it. Amen. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Live as children of God. Well, why should we live as children of God? Because we are children of God. You know, when my son was little, you know, he burst into the living room dressed up. I'm Batman. So he would, you know, for the next half an hour, he would live as Batman. All right. So we're not talking about some kind of costume that you wear, some kind of, you know, let's pretend that we're kind of like the children of God. Oh, that'll be really cool. I'm a princess. No. You are a child of God. And so if you are, then let's live out our family values. Let's live out what our Father considers a big deal. All right, so we learn the culture and the ways of our family. Amen. And I don't know if you've discovered this, but because Jesus said this, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. All right, and so as we identify and as we learn the ways of our spiritual family, I have certainly discovered that there are certain ways that's like, that's not the way I was raised on the earth, right? Do everything without complaining and arguing? You know, my family, that's not how we roll. Okay. No. We learn the culture and the ways, the activities of our new family, our father and our brother, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Live as children. And one way, but not the only way, I want you to consider is that God's our Father. We're His children. We live as His children. Then the people in our family, because our family is really big, those are our spiritual brothers and sisters. Amen. They are more important than our blood brothers and sisters. Amen. Oh, you can't say that. I'm sorry, I didn't. Jesus did. Remember Jesus was in and they said, hey, your brothers and sisters are outside. Your brother. And he said, who's my family? Those who do the will of the Father. That's my family. See, Jesus identified spiritually. Amen. Now, please, be good to your brothers and sisters. And that's good. But it says, do good to all men, especially of the household of faith. It doesn't say church membership. It says the household of faith. And friends, that is way bigger than Miracle Life Family Church. Way bigger. All right. And so you may have people that you interact with or people that are Christians, but they worship in a different way or they worship on a different day. Right. Guess what? Family. Family. Well, they don't think of me as family. That doesn't matter. Treat them as family. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. And I'll do good to all men, especially those who are in my family, my spiritual family. Amen. Now, one way, not the only way, but one incredible way to live this out is in connection groups at Miracle Life. Family. That's what everybody says. Once they get stuck into a connection group, they say it's like family. Because it is. It is family. And we give and love and argue and make up and stick together and serve and love and make a difference. Amen? So, Jesus came so that we could have a new family. Jesus came, Bible says, to really fulfill this, God puts the lonely in families. And I'm so glad that the natural human family can be a reflection and should be a reflection of this God heavenly family. But thank God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have received Him. You are a child of God. Close your eyes with me. Just put your hand on your heart right now. Say this with me. Say, Father, I call you Father because you are. Thank you for sending Jesus so I could come to you, into your family. I am your child. You treat me as a child. I receive family blessings. I treat my brothers and sisters with love and respect. I make a difference because I'm in your family. Thank you, Father. You go ahead and just finish that prayer yourself. Just talk to Him. Maybe there's something that you need to receive from Him or of Him, or just simply to thank Him. To thank Him. Jesus came so that the family of God could be enlarged all around the world, with young and old, every tribe, every nation, the family of God. If you're here today, and the church I grew up in, Christmas was a really big deal because we talked about Jesus. Sometimes we didn't really talk about Him the rest of the year, but around Christmas, it was all about Jesus. And I would always get so interested and keen. But I never knew what I heard today, that I needed to receive Him I needed to believe in him. I needed to have this thing happen to me called being born again, born on the inside, born spiritually. See, I can't do that for you. There's not someone that can stand between you and God and do that. But Jesus referred to himself as the door, the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's what Jesus said. And maybe today you have thought, well, I've been kind of trusting in my heritage, my religious upbringing. I've done some good things, and that's good. But realize today, you must be born again. Maybe you are a child of God, but like the prodigal son, you're not living or experiencing life as a child. You're living life as a pig work hand. Your life is really broken and messed up. Maybe you think you can't go home. You can't go back to your father, but that's a lie. He loves you. He cares for you. He can fix stuff. He can make it right. If you feel like your life is dirty, he's the only one who can clean it up. You can't. The prodigal son came home. He came home as a son. He was received as a son. You can come home today. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to do that. Or I need to receive Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to come into this family of God. We're going to pray, and that is exactly what's going to happen in your life. But it's your choice. It's your belief. It's your prayer. But I'd love to do that with you. And so that we can do that together, simply lift up your hand real high, wave it at me, and say, Pastor, that's me. I choose today to be born again. Just wave it at me. Make sure. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you over there. Yes. Or again, maybe you need to come home as a son who's lost his way or her way. Who is that? God bless you. Lift it up. Just wave it at me. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. And you can stand and sing, I am a child of God. Let's all stand to our feet right now. Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have lifted up my hand, well, just come. Just bring your Bible, handbag, whatever you brought to church with you. Just come up front. Come boldly. Come quickly. Come to receive from a God who loves you, who welcomes you into his family. Let's give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, sir. Thank you for making this decision. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, young man. Wonderful. Anyone else before we pray? Before we pray. Well, yes, somebody's coming. All right. If I were going to give you that as a gift, how would you get it? Right? You would reach out. So a gift has to be received. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to receive a gift of grace, of forgiveness, of new life. So I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands towards heaven. And let's receive this wonderful gift by believing in Jesus. Say this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you tell the truth. In your word, you said, I can believe in Jesus. I can confess him, and I will be saved. I'll be a part of your family. And so I do that right now. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died in my place. You were raised from the dead. I give you my whole life, the rest of my life. I live for you. I leave my sin and I follow you today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to the family.